Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Blog Talk Radio listeners, and welcome to Mornings of the Mansion, the Men's Edition. Morning, Facebook.
What's up, my brother?
Bobby McCann. And,
good morning, everyone.
Thank you to the Christmas special of Mornings of the Mansion, the Men's Edition. Yeah, we feel like today is a good day to talk about Christmas. Being Christmas is what, Bobby?
Yes.
We'll be celebrating Christmas. Yeah, and, you know, the title of today's show is Keeping Christ in Christmas. And that, to me, is a very important subject, especially those who know Jesus as Lord and Savior, because a lot of the things that have been going on in, you know, more recent times, we've mixed the birth of our Lord and Savior in with a bunch of secular customs and almost rituals and things.
Yeah, well, a lot of people celebrate Christmas that don't even believe in Jesus.
And yeah, that's, I guess
you know, they just want to celebrate.
Yeah, and again, yeah, and so that's the thing. And again, I'm not here to bash people, talk about, you know, Santa Claus and giving out Christmas toys and all that stuff. I just want to remind everybody that this is a week that we all celebrate. We come into a corporate celebration of Jesus Christ being born. Now, as true believers, we should celebrate the birth of Christ every day with all of our words, all of our actions. With every breath and with every thought, but that's what the Bible says. But as we come in a time, a season, as they say, to corporately acknowledge the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ, you know, we want to keep it also holy and a memory of Him.
Reverent,
yeah.
Well, it's about Him. I mean, you know, you see people saying Merry Xmas and. You know, that's just taking Christ right out of it.
Well,
and a lot of these people are, you know, are Christians. They're just so conformed to the world, so to speak, that, you know, that's just a, you know, it's a quicker way to write Christmas, I guess. But, man, it's all about Christ. You know, Christ must.
Well, here's what it is, and I believe it's going to. All right, so X. Son, X is usually a signature where it's an adopted where the name is put.
Yeah.
So they're taking the name of Christ at Christmas and at Xmas, put whatever name you want. You know, Christmas is Santa Claus, Christmas is Grinch, Christmas is Grandpa, Daddy. Whoever buys the gifts is you know, the one that's celebrating. And here's the thing, it doesn't matter. If God's with you, position to buy gifts, that's great. And but still acknowledge our Lord Jesus on this day. This is a day that He was born for the reason of our salvation. And that was the original plan. And again, there's nothing wrong with, you know, buying gifts and eating cookies and singing songs. But we need to have a reverence for Jesus Christ because the world is, like it is hijacked, you know, the holiday for political correctness, too. Happy holidays. I mean, I helped a guy yesterday from the Home Depot. And I helped him unload a bunch of stuff and wood on his car. I said, Merry Christmas. And his wife was there, which I stopped because it wasn't his wife, maybe his mother, helping her. She looked at me with a weird look, like when I said Merry Christmas. I'm like, all right, you know, I didn't say Happy Holidays.
Yeah, we just have to realize, and I want to, you know, just tell everyone that's watching, if you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, be intentional this year and be bold this year when you're around your family and read the Christmas story. I mean, when we go through these scriptures today, and what when you understand what the reality is, what we celebrate of the birth of Jesus Christ, when you realize the reality of God's plan and His love, you'll want to be thankful, man. I mean, this is like Thanksgiving all over, you know. And just be intentional around your family and be bold. You don't have to beat them over the head with a Bible, but just read the Christmas story and don't celebrate Christmas without Christ. That's like having a birthday party with someone without the person that's birthday it is.
Yeah, really. You know, because they want to be just politically correct. Well, we don't want to celebrate your birthday today, because what about the people that birthdays aren't today? They're being left out. And, you know, here's the thing. Like you said, be specific, be intentional. Know that Christ is Lord. And this is not a day again, the world celebrates, like you were just saying, before we get on, is that everyone celebrates Christmas, even the unbelievers. And there's nothing wrong with that. Hopefully God will, you know, instill in their heart the truth. They'll be able to rise up and receive the truth that Christ is Lord on Christmas.
Yeah, and you can think about it like this. Christmas, the birth of Jesus, The whole world governs our time by that. B.C. and A.D. I mean, B.C. is before Christ. A.D. is Anno Domini. And Anno Domini means the year of our Lord. Everyone, the whole world governs our time like that. I mean, I'm just telling you, there's not a such thing as an atheist. There is not a such thing as an atheist. The Bible says everyone knows that there's a God. His creation shows you that there's a God. Everyone is without excuse. And I'm just saying, man, everyone celebrates Christmas. And let's just keep Christ in it.
Yeah, and this is the time of year that just because of what's going on with how the secular traditions have taken prominence over the true meaning, a lot of people are depressed this time of year. This is probably one of the greatest times of suicide and whatnot.
Yeah.
This time of the year, this season, as they call it, the season. But people are depressed because they can't live up to what the world has pressured them to be. Buying beautiful gifts for everybody, you know, you're coming into a new year. You're looking back on the things that didn't happen this year. I pray right now in Jesus' mighty name that those that are listening and those that aren't listening, Lord, the ones that are not feeling this year, they haven't opened up their hearts to completely, Lord, and they're feeling dismay, they're feeling depression, they're feeling these spirits of not worthiness, Lord. I pray right now that you fill them with your heart. You let them know,
yes,
Christ,
Jesus,
that you died for them. You died for them. And this is a time to rejoice and celebrate the birth of our Savior. And I thank you, Lord, in your mighty name. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, and you know, just to tag on to what you're just now saying, I mean, man, this is not a time to be depressed. And if you watch this show this morning and you're depressed after you realize what God has done for us, man, you're not listening. You know, the Bible says if you turn to the Lord, the veil will be taken away. And I'm telling you, turn to the Lord and the veil will be taken away. And you're going to understand when we're done here what God has actually done for you. And there's no room to be depressed at all.
Yeah, again, you know, we want to let Scripture show you what the true meaning is. And this is not my opinion or word. It's not your opinion or word. This is the word of God, Almighty God. The Scriptures have lined up, and the Scriptures before Christ was born led up to the event of him being born, the prophecies. These are the living words of God, and this is what we need to cling to and to reverence God's word and God himself through his son, because his son came and did something we couldn't do as a society. He came, one man came in the flesh. He came in the flesh and did something that changed the history of time, which we know it from, to forgive all our sins. We have to really know this is the gospel. Jesus Christ came to bring us the good news of his birth, of God giving us an opportunity to come back to it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm telling you, man, watch this, and I'm telling you, when you get through listening to what the Word of God has to say about you and about what God did for you and for me, I'm telling you, you won't be depressed. Enjoy this Christmas. I prophesy right now in the name of Jesus Christ that you will enjoy this Christmas more than you ever have any Christmas ever before, because you're going to realize that seed is going to get planted in your heart what God actually has done for us. In Jesus' name.
That's the greatest gift that I've ever had. I'm telling you, ever.
Mark Johnson.
Good morning.
Good morning, Renee.
Good morning, Renee. Yeah, so the thing is, we need to know, and again, if you're depressed, if you're not feeling it, it's because you shut yourself out. You turn a blind eye. Your heart might be a little bit hardened from resentment or bitterness. You need to open up your heart to God in, because this is time, again, we don't know if it's the day that Jesus was born on the 25th. I'm not sure. You know, I can talk about some of these pagan rituals, but that's not what this show's about. We're here to exalt the name of Christ, not what anyone else has done in these traditions that we follow. But if you look at history, these traditions, a lot of them that are incorporated into this, our Christmas, it is definitely not a, you know, the pagan ritual.
And it doesn't matter where you're at either. My wife is on here, and we were talking the other day about, I didn't remember this, the Lord has blocked out a lot of the stuff I used to do, but my wife was telling me, and here's why I want to say this. If you're on here watching and you feel like you haven't bought enough Christmas presents for your kids or whatever, teach your children the true meaning of Christmas, and you're going to learn it right now. But my wife was telling me that one time, one Christmas Eve, we were scrambling to buy stuff, and I wanted to go to get cocaine and snort cocaine on Christmas Eve. You know, to celebrate Christmas.
Oh,
I mean, I'm telling you, man, it doesn't matter where you're at. When you turn to the Lord, he will change you. I'm telling you, I say this all the time, but it's been over 10 years, and I've never had one desire for alcohol or drugs. And that's because I've been set free. Amen. And God has given me his word. He's given me all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. And it's his divine power, his spirit living in me, that caused me not to have any desires anymore. So wherever you're at, if you're depressed and you're wanting to go out and try to cheer up with cocaine or alcohol, don't do it, man. I'm telling you, the Spirit of God will cheer you up, because in him it's a righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah.
Yeah, back in Haven, he was calling that a white Christmas.
Yeah,
he did. Christmas white. But he was big, forget all that junk. That's behind us. And it's not what we could get, it's what God could take from us. And that's the true reason why he came, to take away the sin, to take us out of darkness, to give us an opportunity to that, make a choice to come back to God, to receive the salvation, the grace that God has sent the Son to die for.
I
want to take a moment. A friend of mine from New York, Larry Bass, my friend John's younger brother, young guy who grew up with, he passed away 36 years old a couple of days ago. And I do finally have this stuff out of Facebook. But yeah, then they call it COVID. And I don't know. I mean, I pray right now for Brother John and your family that you have peace and your family is here. We know he's in a better place, my brother. He's been there, and God bless him, It's a shame what's going on, and so-called thing in New York is a little bit more wicked than most states. I'll be first to say that what they're doing is really, above and beyond the call of government. They shouldn't restrict restaurants and stuff from being open. They shouldn't restrict the movement of people. We have the right to do what we want to do. We shouldn't have to answer the government for that, but the God.
Yeah,
Merry Christmas, my brother Sean Sprague. Yeah, at Long Island. I wonder if it's snowing out there. I think we got a snowstorm.
Oh, yeah?
I believe so. Yeah, I think it was snowing there.
I remember one Christmas Eve in Fort Worth. I was at my grandmother's house, and it was Christmas Eve, and I was looking out the window, and it was snowing. Here?
Well, yeah.
Fort Worth, yeah. Very rare.
You know, about a half inch of snow.
I mean, we've got a brisk winter day today. I think it's going to get up to 70 degrees.
Yeah, the good thing about Texas is, you get an inch of snow and it's like 4 inches of sand.
Yeah.
And then, you're just driving around. You got to ride a BMW. Yeah. All right. Let's play with football. Thank you, Lord, for this message. I'm not sure where it goes there, but speak through us, Lord, because this is yours. This is your name, Lord. Not for everyone out there listening, Lord, whatever their situation, Lord, just touch their heart, Lord. Let them be reminded of the thing that you came for, the sacrifice you paid for, and this is the reason why we even have this time of year to celebrate you and what you've done for us. And I praise you. I pray for all those out there, Lord, that have gifts, and one that don't have gifts. Lord, touch upon their hearts, Lord. Let them know this is not about anything material, Lord. This is about spiritual events. And let it be spiritual, Lord. Let's bring your spirit, the spirit of you, Jesus Christ, back into this celebration. I thank you, Lord, for the goodness. We praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you,
Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
All right, we're gonna read a little scripture, see where it takes us. But yeah, if you're following along, we're gonna start off with Isaiah.
Yeah, we're gonna start off in Isaiah 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. That word Emmanuel means God with us. And I'm telling you, John 1 says it like this: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ came in the flesh. God Himself came in the flesh. And man, I was at church a couple of weeks ago, and the evangelist was reading out of Genesis, and he talked about when Abraham went to sacrifice Isaac, and Isaac said, "Hey, Dad, we got everything for the sacrifice, but where's the lamb?" And Abraham said, when this evangelist said this, I'm telling you, Abraham said, "Son, God will provide Himself." Hallelujah. A lamb. God provided Himself, man. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to get excited about that.
Oh,
God provided Himself. He was the only one that could do it. We could not do it. I'm telling you, we're saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves. not of works, lest any man should boast. We cannot do it, but God himself, hallelujah, did it. God himself gave the sign. The son was born, hallelujah. The virgin conceived, and the son was born. And we call him Emmanuel, God with us. Amen, hallelujah.
Let me tell you something. If we don't have God with us, where are we? Because I lived a life without God with me. And let me tell you, it leads us into darkness. We have to recognize God every day, Jesus Christ every day in a Christian faith and the walk. A true faith will lead us to recognize Jesus every single day, not just on a specific date where the world is. We need to, every day needs to be Christmas. We celebrate Christ every day. We go out and spread the word. We talk about it. It's funny that you'll find more people talking about Jesus, in the summer and the spring out there in the streets. But when the holidays come, the true day that Christ, that we celebrate in a corporate environment, we sort of shut it down. We get around and we talk about, I gave you the receipts in the box just in case it don't fit. Or, we didn't get whipped cream for the pie. Or, what do you mean you birthed the ham? You know what I mean? There's a lot of stress going on in this world right now. We need to put that all aside. Let God get into our heart. Let him flood us with the love that he came for. He came to bring us love. But we're too busy for this love. We're too turning a blind eye to. We're too hardened to. We're too busy. We're trying to be perfectionists. We're trying to be perfect in the flesh. It's not going to happen. Let's get this straight. We never will. God loves us, and he sent us to save us. And that's what we have to do. Acknowledge this time that God wants to be a part of our life, and he wants to live in us and through us. And that's what it's all about.
And it's just the word himself has really just come alive so much to me lately. When that evangelist said that God will provide himself a lamb. And then right here it says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. God is the one who does it. When you learn how to be a good receiver, I mean, that's what it is. Don't worry about we want to give. But once we learn how to receive, you cannot give what you don't have. You have to learn to receive. And when you receive the love of God, I'm telling you, that's when you become a giver, because you become his child. The Bible says that when you receive him, he gives you the right to become his child. And when you become his child, you become like your daddy. And when you become like your daddy, you're a giver. But you have to learn to be a good receiver first before you can be a good giver.
That's right. And my brother just said the other day, he helped us out with some stuff on a house that we're working on to help disciple and spread the word of God. It's going to be coming hopefully by February. But I said to him, so how much we owe you for this? He goes, brother, you can't give out give God. My brother Bob, an electrician, he helped us out. So here's the thing. We're trying to outgive God. You can't. God already gave us the ultimate gift. And if that is not enough reason to cheer, and what do they say? La 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 la. Joy to the world. The Lord is here. Is that, I didn't know that song. But here's the thing. If you don't have enough, that right there should, just as the baby left in Mary. Yeah. John the Baptist.
Yeah.
With his mom. They got together and the baby started flipping, they say. The baby was already in gymnastics class in her tummy. Here's the thing. The thing is this. Jesus Christ is Lord. He's the reason. We need to lift his name higher. We need to put all this stuff. There's nothing wrong with cooking things and buying gifts.
Oh,
there's nothing wrong with that.
I'm telling you, celebrate. Have fun.
But just as they put the X now, X-mas, they're taking the most significant reason for this season, Christ, out of it. No, so add a name. Okay, what name are you going to put there? Because no other name will save you but the name of Christ.
Amen.
And everything we do, whether it be giving a gift, giving a cup of water, receiving something, speaking, is all in the name of Jesus. He's the ultimate authority in our lives. And he's the, let's get to this point here. Let me read this here, because this is what this is going into. All right, so Isaiah 9, that's all right. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. This is it. This is the authority of Jesus Christ. He came because it was a wreck. Okay, everything was out of control. Everything was in chaos. We were under a law. We couldn't fulfill the law in our flesh. We couldn't do it by works. There was no good nature or any deed of our flesh that would get us to the point that we were right with God. We couldn't do it. So the government, the authority of the name of Jesus Christ is the reason why we do everything in this world. We even celebrate this holiday, put up a Christmas tree, light a candle, sing a song, give a gift, cook a ham, tell somebody this is the authority of Christ. His government, his blood was put on the cross of Calvary for this purpose that we have today, that we're even alive to celebrate this.
Yeah, and when you stick by him, it doesn't matter what the government of the United States does. It doesn't matter when the one world government comes on the scene. None of that matters, because the ultimate government is Jesus Christ and his government. There will be no end. And, man, I'm telling you again, in this scripture right here, it says his name will be called Wonderful Counselor. That's the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Think about that, man. That's a Trinity all wrapped up in one. God himself became a man to save us. He came to his own creation to save us. He left paradise to come to this earth to save us, not only to be born of a woman, but to die, to live a sinless, perfect life, and then to die a horrible death, be buried and resurrected on the third day. Hallelujah. He did all that for you and I. I mean, man, I'm telling you, that is something to celebrate this Christmas. And have fun with it. I mean, have fun with your family, but be bold about it. Don't go into your family gathering and leave Christ out of Christmas.
And,
don't do it.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Here's the thing, the government will be upon his shoulders. So the reigning or the ushering of the new kingdom is all on Jesus Christ to bring it in. We couldn't even help him. We couldn't do nothing. All we could do is by faith receive him and accept by faith the price he paid to redeem us back onto God, the Prince of Peace. A peace treaty was created. I don't know if that word is shalom. I got to look it up. But I don't know if it's in a peace, but if it's shalom, it's everything. But the thing is this, I'm sure it's shalom. But the Prince of Peace, the completeness, the peace in our heart, knowing that we have a peace treaty with God, that we have repented of our sins, we reconciled back onto the Father, that now the original plan God had is to keep us, in fellowship with him and according to his words and his ways. This is an opportunity for us to come back into and walk with God again and do the things God originally wanted us to do.
Yeah, man, and like you just said, doing it with his plan. It's his plan. Only God could redeem us. We couldn't do it ourselves. And it was his plan from the beginning. And the Bible says that his word will not return to him void. So when we understand we receive his plan, doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how bad you were. You're not bad enough. The blood of Jesus, you got to understand something. Jesus was born of a woman. Jesus did not have Joseph's blood in him. Mary was moved on by the Holy Ghost. And she's conceived Jesus Christ without the blood of the Father. The blood of the Father is where we were born into sin. But I'm telling you, he's the only one that came that could redeem us, and it was his plan. His word will not return to him void, but it will accomplish what he pleases. And he pleased to put the wrath, the total wrath on Jesus, so he didn't have to put it on us. And all we have to do is receive him, and that's a true meaning of Christmas, is God becoming a man. It was his plan. He came to his own creation, and when his own creation receives him, you can be his son and his daughter in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Amen. The government be upon his shoulders. See, this is the thing. All rests on him. You can accept it. You said, God, accept and walk in the ways. If you love Jesus, you will keep his word and his commandments, and they're not burdensome. We know this, but we get caught up in things, and we need to stop and just take a moment to just stop and I say more than a moment, but you know what I'm getting at. Just to realize that, what does this mean? If you're watching today, you're listening after the live broadcast, just stop a minute. Start over 30, 60 seconds and see where it leads you. Reverence the Lord. Acknowledge him. Open up your heart to him. Just say, Lord, man, I've been, running around acting foolish or just not acknowledging you and all these things. I'm running around and doing these works, working in my flesh. I need your spirit. I need your spirit to guide me, Lord. And open up your heart. Start to just receive Jesus. And know, because you won't be depressed. You ain't gonna be, you know, mad because somebody got you, you know, ugly sweater. No, you're gonna just be thankful. I don't care if someone gave you what did they do? Give me a stocking full of coal. They're gonna give you coal, and you're still gonna be thankful.
Took a steak.
Yeah, you're gonna make a, you're gonna turn it into a diamond. You're gonna see a diamond. So the thing is, just we have to open up our hearts because Christ came for us. This is the reason why we even celebrate Christmas. So if you don't even look to the real meaning of it, you're in trouble. You're lost already. And you know, we have to reverence the Lord on these days. Every day.
And that's why Paul said, do not be conformed to this world, because when you're conformed to this world, even at Christmas time, you're going to fall into that trap of the commercialism and, you know, the hijacking that the world system has done. Don't be conformed to that. Have fun. Just enjoy your family at this time. Enjoy the time off of work. Enjoy all that. But keep Christ first in Christmas, man. I'm telling you, when you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these other things are going to be added unto you. You're not going to have to strive for them.
And his name will be called. And then here is wonderful counsel, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Don't you realize his name? By everything we do, by every breath we take, every heartbeat that occurs is by the mercy of God. It's also in the name of Jesus Christ who died for us. We belong to Christ. Okay, we don't belong to anyone but Christ. We need to come into that mindset and let it resonate in our heart that we belong to Jesus every day. And today, just this season that the world come in and try to hijack the true meaning, just like the world try to hijack many symbols of God. I don't want to get into the rainbow and all that stuff. We need to stand on and take it back in Jesus' name. This is the time that he came, that we celebrate his birth for our salvation. So let's just reverence him. Reverence him. You want to buy gifts, that's great. No problem with that. But just think of Jesus as you're doing it.
Yeah.
You know, don't be just, you know, caught up in the world system. And all you know.
And especially if you're a parent of, or a grandparent even, of a young child, teach that child about the true meaning of Christmas, man. I'm telling you, train up a child in the way they should go. When they get old, they will not depart from it. That means to train them. It doesn't mean send them to church for an hour and a half on Sunday. It means to train them every day, and train them in this Christmas season, train them to understand what God did. God became a man, Jesus Christ, and died on the cross so we don't have to die. My grandson one time was at church, and he said he wanted to preach, so he got up on the platform, and he started preaching, and that's what he said. He goes, Jesus died so we don't have to. That's a simple gospel, man, but you have to receive it.
Yeah, again, you know, you take it apart out of Christmas. It's about the fun. It's about salvation. Let's get it right. I'm telling you, it's good for us. Let's just realize that Christ is Lord. In a time like this, and what's going on around us, the truth is one of the rarest things out there. But we have to seek the truth and know the truth and live by the truth. See, every time you turn on the TV, every time you hear anything, it's about a lie for the most part. The only truth that we have that we can go on and to guide us is the Word of God, the Bible. The Word came in flesh so that we could see the Word, and actually the only one that walked in the flesh perfect to come and die for us. He didn't deserve to die. He died for us. So again, you know, there's a sacrifice that was made, like you said, for Abraham, the sacrifice. Jesus, God sent his son, only son. Okay, it would have been a lot easier for him to stay in heaven. But he couldn't do it in heaven, okay? He came down because we were messed up, and we didn't deserve this. But he gave it to us out of mercy and love. So we have to know this, and this is the time that we, you know, if you don't know Christ, if you've been sidestepping and you've been caught up in the secular stuff, just reverence the Lord, receive it right now, and know that he is God, and he came to die for you.
Yeah, and you know, you said something about it ain't about fun, and I understand what you're saying. You know, it's not about us, but when we surrender our lives, and Jesus said, unless you deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. So it's about denying yourself. But when you deny yourself, you have righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And I'm telling you, I'm going to not speak for you. I'm just going to say for myself, I've never had more fun in my whole life than since I've been born again. Before that, I was in bondage to sin, and I was miserable. And so, you know, it's like Paul. Paul, when he was being persecuted, he was in prison, and they were singing and praising God. I mean, you know, that's the deal. You have to be intentional about it. You have to praise God and understand this life is but a vapor. So if you're putting all your stock into this life, you're missing the boat. I'm telling you, you're missing the boat.
No kidding. And again, and stuff like that. Fun is based on an event or something that passes. This is a joy, an everlasting joy and a peace that comes into your heart. Good morning, David. Good to see you watching today. Hope you're doing well at the shelter. The Lord County.
Okay.
Yeah, the homeless shelter.
Yeah.
Right? They're helping people.
Praise the Lord.
And it's not just on Christmas Day. They are helping the homeless in Fort Worth. They open up an emergency shelter and get to a certain temperature, 40 degrees or less. And, you know, it's a tough job. I've been there. You know, it's not easy, but God gives you patience and gives you grace to do that. So God bless everyone over there at the shelter, and we pray that they have a good Christmas.
Yeah.
And this is God, this is the truth. And again, this is like, so again, the event of it all, where, oh, you open up a gift and you're happy because you got something you wanted, but then you're not happy. You got to know that, yeah, emotions are games. They're not a guide. They're not the leader. But again, we stay content. See, contentment, the peace, it's greater than anything else I've ever felt. And again, it's not a euphoric, in a sense, where it's like, you know, up and down. It's more of a steady keel where everyone is, you're at peace. And there's nothing greater than peace. You know, people, they're fueled by their emotions. That's the problem. That's what makes this such a train wreck at times for some families. But there's up highs and lows. God don't want highs and lows. He prefers us to be, you know what I mean, at peace in all situations, in all things. That's what I get when I say, you know, I don't want no one to be happy. I want you to be, you know, definitely at peace and content. And happiness will come, you know. You know, but don't. That's not the reason. The foundation is Christ. And if you have Christ in your heart, you're gonna have inner peace, and it's greater than anything else you can feel.
I love the one that says the peace that surpasses all understanding.
Yeah.
One of us says one verse says the peace that surpasses all human understanding. And in the human, in the flesh, you can't understand how you can have peace when all this other stuff is going on around you. In your life, in your family's lives, how can you have peace? Well, you can have peace because you believe what the Word of God says. You have faith, and that faith, I'm telling you, you have the faith knowing that we're going to spend eternity, not just a little bit here, a little bit there, eternity with Jesus Christ in paradise.
Yeah, you know,
that's forever.
You know, when I watch some of the stuff that goes on, especially with, you know, the world, I get angry. And I know I can't be fueled by that. I have to like stay in my peace. You know what I mean? And it's, you know, so when you're angry or upset, you don't get too low. But when you're happy and manic before, don't get too high. Just try to stay. Because I was always like a Rick. My emotions fuel. And again, I was out there. But look, if we have Jesus in our heart, and we're following, and He will guide us, and He'll keep us. You know. He'll keep us in a certain degree. We won't get too.
He will set your. When you turn to Him, He'll pull you up out of the pit, out of the miry clay, and He'll set your feet on a rock to stay. And that's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Your feet are going to be on a rock. When the sinking sand's all around you, you're going to be on the rock. And so that's where you get the peace, because you know whatever happens is not going to dictate your emotions.
Oh yeah. Again, I used to be a very emotional guy. Everyone knows me. Absolutely, but the problem is you're led by emotion. Emotions could lead you down the wrong path. But you stay in Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, because He'll lead us. And that's what we'll talk about in Galatians. Let's get into this one, because this will bring it all together. Remember, we're talking about keeping Christ in Christmas, the true reverence for the Lord, Brother David said, I need to find peace and faith and multiplication. We pray right now for
Jesus' name.
That the Lord is using you in a mighty way.
Yes.
And that you recognize that everything you do for the homeless and the community, helping them find shelters and permanent housing and everything you're doing. I know your heart, David, so I work alongside you. The Lord, you're doing it in Jesus Christ's mighty name. And whether you want to recognize it or not, it's in Jesus' name. So just open up your heart to the Lord, receive it, and know that everything you do, even giving a cup of water, it's all to be done in Jesus' name. You'll find inner peace, your faith will increase, and you will have patience. of a saint.
Yeah. David, I feel like the Lord has given me a word for you. You need to return back to your first love.
Thank you, Lord.
Don't let the commotion and the commotion and the busyness of this life get to you. Just go back to your first love, and that's where you're going to find your peace. And that's where you're going to get your patience.
Thank you, Lord. All right. We need to know. Yeah, and I pray for peace to everybody right now, because I know this time to be hectic. This is what we're here to tell you and declare today in the name of Jesus Christ. This time is not a time to be hectic or be stressed or be dismayed. This is a time to have peace and joy. And joy in your heart. If there's ever a time, ever in your life, open up your heart right now to the Lord and just receive that peace that He came and died. Every drop of blood. Every whip, that they rip his beard out, they put thorns, they spike him in his head. This is for your peace. But here's the problem. If I came to your door and I gave you a gift and you slammed the door on me and didn't accept it, that's your deal. Maybe it's the thing you needed most.
Well, right at the door and knocking.
Yeah, right now is what you need most, is the Lord in your life. And again, this is the time that we need to accept Him. And so walking in a path that He provided for us, because He provides the way. He sent the sacrifice, and then He's given us a plan in a way that's perfect for our lives. They'll bring peace, enjoyment, fun, laughter, tears of joy, tears of sorrow. All these things He brings us through so He can show us and prepare us for what He's got for the greater things for us. And that's what we're going to talk about right here in Galatians, the greater things. Here's what it says in Galatians 4, verse 1. In a similar way, God has promised our ancestors something better. But as long as an heir is a minor, he's not really much different than a servant. Although he's the master over all of them, but for now, until the time is appointed by the father, when he comes of age, the child is under domestic supervision and the guardians of the state. Let's take a second to explain all this. This is sort of continuing from the first week. The thing is this, God the Father, they're talking about as a real Christian, as time, the right of time. We were under the law. Jesus came to take us from the law. The law was for those that were again, obviously before Christ, but we were minors when we were under the law. The law was a mirror of things to come. That was the Mosaic covenant. But God sent Jesus Christ, and He promises something better. The prophecies which we read, Jesus is coming when the appointed age. So now it's time for us to accept Jesus and walk in a new covenant. Stop worrying about the law, because we've got to be led by the Spirit. But here's what it says. So it is with us. When we were juveniles, we were enslaved under the hostile spirits of the world. The hostile spirits was the religion system, the system that we thought that we could get it right for ourselves. And then when Jesus came, we realized that we didn't have to do that. So here it is. But when that ever came to an end, and the time of fulfillment has come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law. Yet all of us, all of this was so that He would redeem us and set us free, and all those held in hostage to the written law, so that we can receive our freedom and our full legal adoption. So this is what it's saying. Because before Christ came, we were under the law, and someone had to satisfy this law. Okay, God will never go back and break His word or His promise. So God, holy as He is, His word, He went and had to send His only Son to redeem us from the law. So when we were still under the law, mankind and His creation, we were still juveniles. But when Christ came, He took to satisfy the law and ushered in a new covenant. This new covenant is for us, that we come into the God has sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the written law, so that He can redeem us and set us free, the ones that are held hostage to the written law. This is important, right? That this is the reason. This is why He came. Important. He came. See, we were on the law, taking us to death. We could not redeem ourselves. We were dying. We could not redeem ourselves from the law. We thought we could because we set up a religious system. Okay, let's follow it to the letter. No, it's not about that. Here's what it says. And so that we receive freedom and full legal adoption as His children, and so that we would know for sure that we were true children. God released the spirit of sonship, the spirit of Jesus Christ into our hearts, moving us to cry to Father, Abba Father. It says, our true Father. See, here's the thing. There was no Holy Spirit indwelling in us before Jesus came and died. Remember, he died and said, wait 40 days, I'm sending my Spirit. This is the testimony in our hearts that we belong to God. It's the Holy Spirit.
You know, and this is really a scripture that you can understand for anyone out there who's, you know, had a bad father or bad parents or whatever. That doesn't matter anymore, because when someone's adopted, they're adopted because they're wanted. I mean, when you understand that, when a baby's born, a lot of babies are wanted. You know, they're planned and they're wanted. But a lot of babies are not planned. They're just the woman gets pregnant and the baby comes and, you know, look, you got a baby, you got to take care of the baby. You know, you don't have a choice. But in adoption, the parents, they want that baby. God wanted us. God didn't have to take us. He wanted us. He wanted us so bad that he was willing to die for us, to become a man and die for us. And I love this when it says, in the fullness of time, and it says in the New King James, in the fullness of time, and it's when the death penalty, man, was horrible. Jesus, I mean, we heard it yesterday. Jesus was beaten. I mean, if you could understand what he went through for us, and he took it all, because when the death penalty was the most horrific death penalty in human history, to forgive the most horrific sin, it does not matter what you've done. It matters what Jesus did on the cross, and by all his shed blood that he shed, and that pure blood that he had. He didn't have the blood of Joseph. He was born from above, and I'm telling you, you can be born from above as well, yeah. And you can cry out, Abba, Father. That word Abba means daddy. You can walk next to your daddy, and you can have a new father, and a father that wants you. You know that he wants you because he became a man and died on the cross for you.
Hallelujah. Brother David thanks us, and everyone in the man next to me. That's Father David. Pastor Bobby, yeah. We'll be praying for you guys at that shelter, because the shelter is important. We need to keep our brothers and sisters warm and fed.
Yeah, that's a tough ministry,
yeah, too. Yeah, no, believe me. I mean, especially those hours, the late night hours, the 7 to 7 shift. But again, we want everyone to know that, you know, Brother David and everyone else watching, that this is not a time, again, these emotions start dictating how we're going to act towards people. And our emotions should never dictate how we're going to act towards people, because we got anger and bitterness in our hearts, but the Lord wants to take it out of our hearts. And here's the thing. We can't take what we don't give him. So we have to recognize the bitterness. We have to recognize the anger and open it up.
What was that you said one time? You have to own. You can't give away what you don't own.
Yeah, look, let me tell you something. If you don't have a humbleness in your heart and you can't recognize that your faults, God can't really do much for it, okay? God's a sovereign God, but, man, he wants us to recognize these things. It's a process of the humbleness, the contrite heart, the humble heart. That is the only way to Jesus Christ, is through the humble heart. There's no one proud getting into heaven. I hate to break it. The murderer, the murderer, the rapist, all of them will be sitting at the table. But the proud, they're going to be down below. They're going to be burning in the fire. Pride is the only way. It's the worst sin. Everything derives from pride. All of us. See, pride is, that's why God says, I resist the proud. What does he hate the most? A proud look, right? Yeah. A haughty look. So there's the thing. I assure you that as we operate in pride, we're not going to do it. We're not going to receive God, okay? Because the pride will make us do things against God. He hates pride. I'm going to tell you right now. He hates pride, and he resists the proud. So even until you humble yourself, you're probably not even listening to your prayer.
Yeah, and you may be out there thinking, well, how do I humble myself? Humbling yourself is as simple as this. Doing it God's way, not your own. When you say, Lord, I want to do things your way, not my own way, that's how you humble yourself. And you understand that you're going to do things God's way, and then God puts his Spirit in you and causes you to walk in his ways. I mean, it don't get much easier than that.
Well, yeah. You know what? The hard thing is to swallow your pride. You got to swallow it. It's a big pill to swallow. Trust me. I couldn't. Yeah. But we need to know this. So it's a humbling. But this humbling will change. It's going to change your destiny, your eternity, the humbling of your heart. So we need to have a humble heart. Because here's the thing. Jesus Christ came when the death penalty was the worst. This is what it's talking about. We didn't have no way out. We thought we were running around with religious rituals, sacrifices, and all this stuff. Look, that wasn't going to save us. Okay, what will save us is a humble heart, which is open up to Christ, Jesus, to come in and say, Lord, I messed up. I know that I'm bitter. I'm angry. But Lord, I release this to you. First, we accept it. We acknowledge it. We take possession of it to release it to God.
Yeah.
You know?
And the only way you can do that, you know, faith and trust are the same thing. The Bible says that faith works by love. And you have to understand how much God loves you. And when you think about this scripture right here, it says that we are redeemed, that he redeemed us. And it's like whenever, you know, it's like the devil kidnapped us. The devil kidnapped us and God bought us back.
Yeah.
You know, he paid the ransom for us. And I'm telling you, when you understand that, the enormity of what God did, his plan was to come down from heaven to earth. And become a man, and to show us that because here's the deal, God is perfect and holy. Okay, so he cannot look on sin, and there had to be a perfect sacrifice, and he was the only one that could be the perfect sacrifice. So he gave up his life, and it's like whenever Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac, and Isaac said, "Where's the lamb for the sacrifice?" And Abraham said, "God will provide himself a lamb." But he didn't provide a lamb right then. It was a ram. The ram was caught, okay? Jesus didn't get caught. He gave himself up because of the love he has for us, man. And I'm telling you, when you get a hold of that, you know, get away from your kidnapper. You're released, amen? He's already paid the ransom.
Yeah, you walk around in shackles, you know, he got released. God released us, and that's all I know. God is...
Thank you, caller.
Yeah, that's the deal. Anyway, all right, so here's the thing. This is what I want to focus on here, because we got another scripture to read. We're no longer living like slaves under the law, but we're enjoying being God's very own sons and daughters. And because of this, we access everything our Father has. But we are heirs of God through Jesus. That's it. We are heirs of God through Jesus. Unless we receive Jesus in our heart humbly, unless we acknowledge him as our true Lord and Savior, unless we acknowledge the price he paid and the work at the cross of Calvary, that we are now redeemed. That's the that we need to come. We're redeemed. And it's not by works. We know this. It's not by trying to earn God's love. It's receiving God's love. And those things that we will do, they're a fruit of it. Okay? We will know God's love. And we will do good things. Because God is in us. We can't do anything for God. But God can work in us and through us. We got to have that mindset that God doesn't need us for anything. But he wants us to be involved in what he's doing. When we receive his love, it's so easy to pour it out on others.
Yeah, and then you understand that when, you know, the scripture in Peter that says that he gives us all things that pertain to life and godliness, you may be out there thinking, you know, I just can't live like that. I can't, you know, I'm in bondage to alcohol. I'm in bondage to drugs. I'm in bondage to pornography. I'm in bondage to anger. I'm in bondage to overeating, whatever it might be. You may think that you can't get out of that, man, because I was there. I thought there's no way I'm ever going to quit drinking, and I didn't. But what I did was I surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. He took it away from me, and now I realize that he gives me the things that I need. It would be like if somebody said, here, I want you to go mow this 10 acres of land. And you're like, well, okay, well, what am I going to use for a mower? Well, I don't know. Just figure it out. No, God don't do that. He gives us all things. He gives us the riding tractor that we get on to mow the yard. He gives us all things that pertain to walking this walk and to walking in power. When the Bible says in Ezekiel that God will give us his spirit, put his spirit in us, and cause us to walk in his ways, it doesn't just mean he's causing us to walk that straight and narrow. It does mean that, but it means we walk in his ways, and his ways are power, love, and a sound mind, not fear. You know, we need to go around with fear. Let the world be scared if they want to, but we can preach the gospel in the power of God. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Then they can get saved, and then we can just multiply and multiply and multiply, and then the world will change.
Here's the problem with number one. Next scripture, this would be the problem. Can God release the spirit of sonship in our hearts? And if we're out there still miserable, when I go to church every Sunday and I know Jesus is the reason for Christmas, here's the thing. We need to receive the spirit of sonship. Because then you know how truly you are valued by God. Unless you receive that love, it's all religious ritual. It's legalistic, and it's not what God wants. He came to restore you from that system. He wants to fill your heart with love. See, those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. So there it is, where this Spirit he released in our heart, knowing that we can call out to Abba, Father, Daddy, thank you, Lord. We need to receive that. This is critical, that you receive that Spirit, that you receive that witness from the Spirit, because he sheds that love abroad in your heart, that you know you belong to God. And nobody, 1,000 horses, wild horses, can't drag you away. They can't make you believe different.
Amen.
It's not of your mind, it's of your heart.
And you have to realize what value. I mean, you know, just think about this. If you go to the store and there's a piece of gum and they want $100 for that piece of gum, you're not going to pay for $100 for that piece of gum because it's not worth it. Value is defined as what someone is willing to pay for something. So think about it like this. God was willing to pay everything for us. That's how valuable we are to him. And you've got to receive that. Faith worketh by love. And I'm telling you, when you receive the love of God, you'll understand that you are now a son and a daughter. To anyone who receives him, he gives him the right, the power. He even gives us the power to become his children. I mean, how cool is that? I mean, he does it. All we do is surrender. Man, I'm telling you, it's that simple, really. And when you do that, he empowers us. His grace empowers us to be on a mission. Look, here's the deal. Jesus, you know, we're about to read this that you know, as a matter of fact, let's just read it right quick. I'm going to go to John 3:16. For God so loved the world, this is Jesus talking, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is a condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. I mean, you think about it. When you're doing something wrong, you try to hide it. That's what he's saying right here. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. Been done in God. When I was reading this, I was thinking about how Jesus told he told Mary that, you know, they went to Jerusalem for the feast. And anyway, they were coming back, and they left Jesus. They lost him, really. And 3 days later, they came back and found him in the temple. And Jesus said to his mother, "Didn't you know that I must be about my Father's business?" And I'm telling you, man, that's the first thing that's recorded in the Bible that Jesus said. The last thing he said was, "It is finished." And that he said while he was on this earth, man. And I'm telling you, when we understand that his mission, when we become his children, is our mission, we are now ambassadors. We're sons and daughters first, but we're ambassadors of Christ. And we become his children, and we're now in our Father's business. And I'm telling you, you've just got to understand. I'm telling you, this Christmas time, the biggest part that I love about this is in Luke, and I can't remember if it's one or two, but it's when the angel Gabriel comes to Mary, and he tells her that you know, she's highly favored, she's going to have a baby that's going to be conceived by the Holy Ghost. And Mary's like, how can this be? Well, and the angel Gabriel said, the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And he goes on, and here's what she said, and this is what we've got to get a hold of. And she said, "Let it be to me according to your word." His word will not return void. His plan, not ours. It's his plan of salvation. Receive his plan of salvation. It doesn't matter what we think. He's the potter and we're the clay. When we understand it's his plan and his word will not return void, but it will accomplish what he pleases, and he pleases that all come to repentance and none perish. Hallelujah.
The thing is this, God came and sent his son, and in the passage it says he sent his son as a gift. Well, the thing is, Jesus came. He came in the flesh, but he brought with him. He brought, obviously, the light, right? He gave us the light to see the things that we're doing wrong, so we could overcome them and follow him. So that leads us to freedom. Okay, when we have that freedom, it starts to manifest in our lives. Then all of a sudden, our hope increases. in the blessed hope of Christ himself. Then we have an inner peace that surpasses all understanding. We're walking around and people are like, why is this guy happy? He didn't get a single Christmas gift this year. Okay, who cares? But then remember what we talked about in the last verse? That spirit that comes into our heart that testifies that God, we belong to God. That's the Holy Ghost. That right there, he's our comforter. He's our healer. He's our guide. He's everything. He's God himself in our heart. Okay, he leads us in all things. He's our witness that we belong to God. Then we're walking in the inheritance. The inheritance, the freedom again, the joy, the peace, that shalom peace, okay, that leads us into eternal life. Again, this is all witness through the Holy Spirit. That's why God said, enough of the law. I'm sending my spirit to you because you're not going to get it right unless you're led by my spirit. If you're led by my spirit, you belong to me because you're following my rule and my command. So this eternal life is where Jesus came and rested on his shoulders. The eternal kingdom that was ushered in by the cavalry cross, the work at the cross. You need to accept and walk in it. This is the peace that we have, the eternal life through Christ. That's why we even celebrate a day of Christmas, a day that Christ came and was born. You know,
yeah, and Christmas. I'm telling you, the Christmas time. You know, when the world is depressed and the world is sad and the world is, you know, the suicide rate is going up because everyone is depressed because they don't have enough money for Christmas or whatever. When you receive the true gift, you know, the Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of God's glory, and the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. When you get a hold of that, all this other stuff's going to fall away by the wayside, and it's not going to be dragging on you anymore. You're going to take that backpack off full of rocks, and you're going to walk in a freedom, lightness. I mean, you're just going to walk in that freedom because you're going to understand that, look, this world doesn't have anything to offer you anyway. The only thing this world has to offer us is people and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God and the salvation to anyone who believes, whosoever believeth in him.
God didn't come to condemn the world. He came as a sacrifice this time around. And guess what? There will be another coming. And when he comes, it says here, he didn't come to condemn the world or bring judgment, but he came to give us an opportunity to walk in the freedom, receive him. But guess what? Next time he comes, he's coming. There's going to be a sword. And he's going to rule with an iron rod. He's going to separate the sheep from the goats, the wheat from the tare, and he's coming again. Okay, this is the truth. Okay, it's not a fact. No, it's a truth.
But here's the thing. The gospel is good news. It really means almost too good to be true news. So it's the goodness of God that leads to repentance. And here's the thing. The reason you have to understand something, you can look around you, and Bible prophecy is coming to life right before our eyes. I'm telling you. They're training people for the mark of the beast. You just said it. You know, you can't buy or sell, this, that, and the other. But I'm telling you, we don't have to live in fear because we understand. We already know. Jesus, the Bible says Jesus is going to destroy the Antichrist with the breath of his mouth and the splendor of his coming. And I'm telling you, all you have to do is choose what side.
We want to thank you for listening to Blog Radio. And again, Christ is coming again. He came the first time. That's why we celebrate Christmas. For the second time he comes, you better be ready, because there's not going to be a celebration unless you're on the right side of the fence. And the thing is, we love Jesus Christ
thank
for what
you,
he's
Lord.
Done.
Yes.
And we thank you, Lord, for everyone that's watching today. And we pray, Lord, that that they reach out to you, Lord, that they humble themselves and come to know you, Lord, especially in this season. We want to thank you, Blog Radio. Anyone out there who's listening to Blog Radio, come to know Jesus Christ. It don't matter where you've been or what you've done. Now is the time. To come back to Christ. He's ready and he's willing to accept you regardless of what you've done. Just come with a humble heart. Tune in tomorrow to, again, same time, 10 a.m. The ladies here, Marlo Mosey and Laura Kelly will bring the original Morning at the Mansion.
Everyone have a Merry Christmas, and if you keep Christ in it, you will have a Merry Christmas.
Thank you for watching, and God bless you all. Tell a friend. Thanks to Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
What you got going? Okay, what? No, Well, I mean, look, he's saying he's only saying that he's a boy.